Blog Talk Radio.
This is Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. Make sure you check us out on blogtalkradio.com, Get Deep and Keep It Real. You can also find us on Facebook, Get Deep and Keep It Real, and of course on Twitter. If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to hit us up on our Facebook account and on our Twitter account. So any comments or questions or any special requests for guests or a show topic, please always feel free to hit us up on Facebook and or Twitter. And if you would like to call into the show, please do. Our number is 347-215-9738. That's 347-215-9738. You're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. Good afternoon. This is your girl, Tiffany Camilla. Thank you for joining me on Get Deep and Keep It Real this Wednesday afternoon. Well, I hope you're hungry, and if not, you will be by the time I finish the show today. We have a very special show and a very extra special guest. I'm live on location in the house in New Orleans, in the house of personal chef Gaison Nelson. Yes, we are sitting here chilling, talking about food today. So sit back, relax, and chill out with me, Tiffany Camilla, on Get That's 347-215-9738. If you can't make it to the phone, always hit us up on Facebook, Get Deep and Keep It Real, and just follow the link and you can leave a message or a comment, and I will see it while we're doing the show. Or you can also go to our Twitter account, and that's Get Deep and Keep It Real on Twitter, and post your comments. So, without further ado, let's get to talking about food. Please introduce yourself to us.
Well, hello, how you doing? My name is Chef Gaison. My name is Chef Gaison. I'm a private chef in the city of New Orleans. I'm about food. I'm food. I just love food, and I just love cooking. This is what I do. And I just want to thank you for coming here and chilling with me today and letting us talk about food, because food is one of my favorite subjects to talk about. So.
And the listeners to my show, so they know I love food as well, and I always keep it real here. Hey, as healthy as I try to be, I still like to have some good food prepared, you know, pretty much naturally or by someone's good hands and not processed or in a fast food restaurant. I'm happy, and that's what I look for.
Yeah, that's half the battle right there. When you nailed it, when you said process, right? You want to stay away from processed foods. I mean, you know, it takes a little extra step, and people say, oh, I do private dinners and things like that. There's always a shortcut, but, you know, and it's always something processed or something like that. I'd rather get everything myself, fabricate it down myself, cook myself, slice it, prepare myself, because I feel like I'm getting more into the ingredient, number one. And number two, I know exactly what it is that I'm getting, and it's as fresh a steak, you know? So I can break it down, do what it is I want to do. So if you can, it really fits, you can stay away from processed food. That's the very first step. Everybody wants to talk about eating healthy and this and that. One of the main keys is just staying away from processed foods. I mean, I know there's so many quick and easy shortcuts and ways out there nowadays, but that's honestly, that's bad.
Right.
It's really bad.
And, I mean, you know, before we get into who you are, your history, and since we're already on the subject about, you know, little tips, what are some, like, just general quick tips that people can do to kind of make their life easier so that they don't have to resort to processed and fast food?
Well, I mean, the thing is, too, is like, well, me, honestly, I mean, I hate to say this, and I know everybody shops for the week and stuff like that. Excuse me, when I need something, I shop that day.
Okay. More European or Asian style, a lot of Indian culture and Asian cultures, they tend to shop day
right.
to day.
They, you know, and I'm making my business on the way home. If I know whatever's for dinner that day, it's picked up that day.
Right.
For me to cheat is the day before.
Right.
But I mean, I'm not gonna pick up Monday's dinner on Wednesday and let it sit there and stuff like that. Because you want it at the fresh state. And I mean, and you know, people might say, oh, that's more work. But at the end, you're gonna win because it'll be more beneficial to you because it's a better product. It's fresher. It's
right.
nicer. You don't know if you got something in Monday and about Wednesday or Thursday when you get ready to get to it. You know, it starts to break down. So
right.
things start happening. To
right.
it. So you just want to be very conscious of that.
Yeah.
Hey, and hey, stay away from canned goods. Stay away from frozen food section. I mean, just
right.
think fresh and plan your menus. And they don't have to be quick, hard. I mean, like what I'm gonna do a dish for you today. I want you to add. No, it's not. If you stop looking at it like that, look at it, hey, instead of it to be too much work, I might have to take an extra step. I'm getting a fresher product at the end, and at the end of all this, it's gonna be a better outcome for me, my family, you know. And so that's just how I look at it.
Okay. And I just wanted to let everyone, all my listeners, know that we will have a live cooking demonstration. I wasn't able to do it while we're doing the show, but I will be uploading a live cooking demonstration on YouTube. So make sure you look out for that, and I'll give you the information towards the end of the show and also have it on the Facebook and Twitter pages as well. So make sure you check out the Facebook page, Twitter page, and YouTube after the show. So getting back to the show, and, you know, you were talking about, you know, eating fresh and, you know, kind of preparing. Part of that goes with just little things that I've done that sometimes helps me is sometimes if I do, like, visit the local farmer's market
mm-hmm.
and I know that I maybe have too much product for myself,
right.
I maybe will take that product and either pre-cook it and freeze it, or I will, like, if it's some fresh vegetables or something, let's say if it's a pepper or something like that that's maybe going to go bad fast, I will cut it up and just freeze it. So instead of, you know, you going to the store buying something that's already frozen, if you want to preserve it or, you know, just to save a little time for prep, you can go ahead and cut it up, dice it, and, you know, go ahead and put it in the freezer. No, it's not as fresh, but it's still better than going
to
the grocery
store. No, it's not as fresh, but one, it's yours. You
right.
broke it down. You did it. You know what's in it. There's no read the back and what is it, what is this, what is this,
yes.
what is this. All this chemicals and things like that.
Right.
You don't want that. Nowadays, preservatives.
Exactly.
But, you know, nowadays, everything going on and, you know, our body's changing and just, you know, you got to be just, you don't want to, of course, when something's going to happen to each and every one of us, but you don't want to speed up the process.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? So anything that you can do to help yourself, like you said, you're getting the fresh peppers or whatever and break it down yourself. Trust me, I don't think you realize what it is that you did for yourself.
Right.
You
know? Actually, I do. Just, as many of my listeners know, I was on a healing journey from having thyroid cancer. And so for me, that was like a turnaround.
That's right.
And then also more recently going through infertility, and I swear, trying to eat healthy for fertility purposes might be more aggressive. In my journey doing all that and trying to eat more whole foods, I'm not vegetarian by any means necessary,
mm-hmm.
but what I feel like if I'm going and spending a little bit more money at the butcher and getting my meat where it's locally produced, you know, from a local farmer or, you know, person who kills chickens at the market, having that whole food and being it more fresh, it's more beneficial to your body.
Absolutely.
You don't need as much to eat.
Right.
And you know where it came from.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
And it tastes different. Now, I'm very particular and picky, and I can tell the difference when something is fresh versus when it's not. It just, if I slip up and go or whatever, I have to watch it. because I can tell the difference.
Definitely.
And my body responds differently.
My body, I mean, I'm going to tell you a quick little story. I was cooking for The Rock while he was here shooting G.I. Joe, and I was hired as his personal chef. And this man's diet is so unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I said, how can someone eat like this every single day? Well, this man ate like this every single day, and you know, there was enough that I was starting to eat, you know, because I made enough so I would eat too.
Right.
Can you believe within 3 weeks, I felt different. I saw a change in my body, and it was amazing, you know what I mean? And it didn't get any fresher.
Right.
It did not get any fresher. So, like what you just said during your healing journey, it definitely makes a difference.
So, tell us about you. What got you into this cooking game?
Well, that's a interesting story. I don't know, you know, I think I always knew that I wanted to cook growing up, but, you know, in the 80s, you know, nowadays, chefs are rock stars.
Yes.
And I didn't see that back then, but I always knew, like, when I was, like, 13, 14 years old, I was like, man, I just enjoyed food. I could sit there at that time, Julia Child was on, Frugal Gourmet came on, and I could sit there and watch it. And then on the weekends, my dad would cook. My mom cooked during the week. You know, she fed us. But on the weekends, my dad, his name was Joseph Nelson, he cooked, but he made it a big ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything had to be fresh. He would drive. I mean, my dad, he was about it, you know. And I was watching him. So he made me see being a man and cooking, you know, for his family was all right. It was cool. But, you know, I joined the military and I was a cook in the Army.
Okay.
Yeah.
Navy.
Oh, you really? I did 5 years in the Army and I started cooking. I was cooking there. And then I think there I started seeing other brothers and, you know, people, other guys cooking. And then I kind of grew then. But I always knew, I knew without a doubt in my mind that I was now at what level and what I was going to do, I didn't know. But I knew food was somewhere in there. And if you had told me back in 1990,
mm-hmm.
that I'll be doing what I'm doing today in 2014, I'd have thought you was crazy.
Right.
I thought you was whacking us. You know what I mean? I'm still amazed at times at what I'm doing at the level that I'm doing at. You know, because I just love to cook. And this is, I mean, just, I think this path was paved up for me because things that happened along this journey, I can't explain. I'm like, wow, okay, this has to be God. This is like how I got into culinary school. I got into culinary school without a dollar to my name.
Wow.
So I go down there, and a friend of mine taking culinary school, and I went down there just to get some pamphlets. Because, you know, they were like, man, everybody was always telling me that you could cook. I just knew I loved to cook, and I was very competitive. And I would always go into a kitchen, I would see who was the best person in the kitchen, and I would kind of like, okay, watch that person, learn as much as I could from that person. But when I went to Delgado, and I went down there one day with a friend just for some information, and then I didn't have a dollar to my name, and I walked out of Delgado day registered for school. Now I said, and I told myself, I said, I'm gonna sit here for a semester. I forgot how much it was at the time, but I'm gonna just go here for a semester, pay them the money, see how I like it. Then I'll judge what I want to do then. But during that first semester, you know, it came up. Opportunity to get a James Beard Award.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, you know, James Beard Award, what's the odds of me? You know, I mean, come on, man. Me? Yeah, like,
right.
So I filled it out, and I had to write a little essay on my passion on food.
Okay.
And what I loved about food and what food did for me. And food's just, like I said, I mean, I got stories all day. It's life. I sleep it, I eat it, I breathe it, I go to bed thinking about it, I wake up thinking about it. I'm on a treadmill at the gym thinking about food. So I expressed that in my letter. And like I said, that first semester, I had no idea how I was going to pay for culinary school. But before that first semester was over, the James Beard called me, and they gave me a full scholarship and paid for my whole culinary education.
Wow.
Now, this is me going on there not knowing how I was going to...
That was the universe. That
right,
was,
right.
That was just meant for it to happen.
And it was just crazy. It was just crazy.
That must have been an awesome letter.
Oh, well, I mean, it was just me.
You still have it. Wow.
Actually, Katrina took the letter, but it was just me expressing how I felt about school. Like, you know, I don't know people, and I think people don't know. I had a son here. You said he had cancer. I had a son who passed away of cancer.
Okay.
This was, you know, he was like over 20 years ago. But anyway, what the day he passed, we had a big party. It was in San Antonio. And the day he passed, I had a party. We had a party at the restaurant. And I was a big part of the party. I wasn't a chef, and I was a little line cook, but I had my little section. And I was like, they told me, you know, I called, said my son passed, this and that. They told me to take all the time off my knees and stuff like that. And I was like, I just didn't feel right. I said, man, I gotta come to work. And I said, yo, the chef name was Chef Ryan. I remember like yesterday. I said, Chef Ryan, I gotta come to work. And he was like, he said, do you realize your son just died today, man? So I was like, well, anyway, we fed like 300 people at night, and I went to work, and I could tell people were tiptoeing around me, looking at me kind of sideways. Like, I remember Chef Ryan was like, how can you do this? He looked at me like, are you all right? How can you do this? And then, you know, and my mom, and I couldn't explain it at the time, but my mom revealed it to me later. She said, no one stopped me, or no one didn't, you know, stop me from going in, because they knew that was my comfort zone.
Right.
And that's where I needed to be.
Wow.
You know, and I'm telling you, when my son just passing, I'm sitting here putting out a party for 300 people. I'm in there putting it out and praying and that, that, that. And I felt like I was doing the right thing. You know?
So that love for your son, you kind of put into your work.
Right, exactly. I never thought about it like that. And I said, that's that. And then my mom told me, hey, that's his comfort zone. And then,
yeah.
It, you know, just things happen. Like when Katrina, I didn't know, I mean, how I got the job with Reggie Bush. I don't even know how, you know, somebody knew somebody that knew somebody, brought my name up to him. I was in Houston. I had no job. I didn't know what was next. The next thing you know, I get an offer over the phone from Reggie Bush to be his personal chef. And they bring me back up to Houston, bring me back to New Orleans. And I was able to rebuild my house, come back to New Orleans and do what it is that I do. And but all of this is with cooking, so I know I'm in the right place, and,
yeah,
and I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I don't feel as if I work. You know, people look at me and see me running around going to the store. I got a gig, I got here, I got to answer the email, I got to do this, I got to do that.
Right.
But none of it feels like work. I truly do not. I feel like I get paid to get up every day and play.
Now that's blessed.
Right. I don't work. When people say it is my job, I don't have a job.
Right.
I don't have a job. It's hard. It's at times, sometimes it's even hard for me to charge people. You know, I know I need to survive and stuff like that. But where I've been at and where I've gone and the doors that's open, and I'm, you know, has opened. And then there's always levels of cooking, because, you know, one of my mentors was like Dana Dolch from Sunray Grill.
Okay.
He took them. I love that dude on my heart. You know, he took me and come out of college school, and he said he saw something in, you know,
right,
what I mean? And he let me come in and do some things. And then from then, so I'm thinking, I'm getting it.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm doing. But then I met Jared Ross. He's a chef at the Bocas. And then at that time, I'm thinking, I'm making some noise. I'm cooking for these celebrities. I'm doing something. I was working with him for like 2 months in his kitchen, and watching Jared Ross work at the Bocas, I had to sit back and be like, wow. You ain't doing nothing, Chef. I ain't doing nothing but making a whole bunch of noise. So it made me raise my game up again. And just recently, I just came back from New York. I was in New York. I had an appearance out in New York. When I was out in New York, I got to visit a friend of mine named Ed Cotton. He was one of the finalists on Top Chef.
Okay.
And him and I did an event at the American Cancer Society.
Nice.
For both of Chefville. Anyway, he invited me to his restaurant, and I just got to sit there and watch him in action.
Right.
And he just sent out, and I was in awe. I was like, so now I'm like a kid all over.
Right.
Like,
right.
Now I got to get better. I got to raise it up. And my thing is, when I put my mind to something, it's there. So there's always levels. So every time I think, okay, I got it, I'm there.
Right.
You know, man, you always get better. You always.
Well, I think that's with any profession, but especially with something like cooking. That's why I like it. Because, like you said, you can always learn something.
And, right, right.
I mean, just watching the plethora of cooking shows that are out there,
right.
I mean, you have these top professional chefs learning stuff from teen kids who are growing
on.
Oh,
my God.
You know,
oh.
These kids are awesome.
Man, have you seen
you know?
Chopped the Kids?
Yeah,
oh,
I'm loving it.
They're
That's
these
my show.
Kids. 15 and I'm
yes.
Sitting here looking at them like,
right.
You know, somebody training them kids in the back.
I'm like,
somebody training them kids in the back. Them kids 14, 15 years old, And the terminology, the culinary terminology, I'm sitting there like, what the heck do you get that from?
I know.
It's just amazing. So right there is just the level. So can you imagine, like I said, where I was, if you'd have told me 20 years from now where I'd be at. So can you imagine those kids 15, 10 years from now, what they're going to be doing?
Right.
Oh, my God, that's scary. That is scary, scary, scary.
Amazing. So what got you into, you know, being a personal chef? Instead of maybe trying to go out here and own your own restaurant.
Well, the thing about, you know, at that time, you know, being a chef in a restaurant, stuff like that, I lived in a restaurant. I mean, I lived in the restaurant. Then when I started moving up in the ranks in the kitchen, that's more and more you got to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, you know, I mean, I was missing birthdays and Mardi Gras.
Right.
And there's no such thing as a weekend. Your weekend is like a Tuesday. Or a Thursday, you get a day off. I mean, it was taking a lot on me. It was taking a lot, you know, it was just a lot of work. And then once the restaurants I was dealing with,
right,
that's where I was at. So I was like, wow. So I was watching Food Network one day, and Shaquille O'Neal had a private chef, and I never heard of it.
Right.
Okay. So I was like, a personal chef? I was like, wow. And that's just, I'm going to tell you another funny story. A personal chef, I was like, wow. I said, that's interesting. I said, I mean, that might be something. So I just looked into it, and I noticed we didn't have no personal chefs here in the city of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And they had them in Los Angeles and New York, so I just did more studying on it. But I was in Delgado. I needed a paper or something I needed. So I walked into the office of the culinary school. Now, I want you to tell me if this is fate again. I walked to the office of the culinary school. As I walked into the office of the culinary school, the phone rang. And then later, the chef kind of said, hold on, okay, so I'm holding the chef's dinner.
Right.
She said, a guy named Morris Newman called.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, okay, she took it. Well, he was looking for, his chef just passed away, and he was looking for a personal chef to come cook for him and his wife, his family. And stuff like that. Well, she hangs up the phone and she says, some guy called looking for somebody to come to the top. It wasn't big now. It wasn't known.
Right.
And she was like, some guy wants, wonder if we got any students would be interested in coming to his house. So she just wrote around on the slip, but she's going to put on the job board.
Right, right.
And I said, Jenna, let me get that. Let me get that. So when I'm inside carry out, I said, I go out and I call. And they said, oh, yeah, we're looking for. And I said, we're looking for a personal chef. I said, I just want you. I was nervous.
Right.
I'm going to send you my resume. I'm in culinary school. Well, he said, come on in and do a sample dinner for me and my wife. The wife's name was Lala Lee Newman. His name was Morris Newman. And I was scared. Oh, my God. I was so scared. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know. I was like, oh, man. So I go to the house. I did this little sample menu. I mean, this sample. I couldn't even sleep that night. I go there and I cook the food, and then Lala Lee Newman comes out after that cook for him, and she was like, Morris really likes you, and we want to offer you the job.
Awesome.
So they went in the kick part is, they support me the whole time I was in culinary school.
Oh, wow.
And in their kitchen, they had on the back wall, when I say hundreds of cookbooks.
Wow.
Hundreds of cookbooks. What I want to. I mean, sometimes they know I was in culinary school, they would, pull out a cookbook and find something they like and put it on the recipe page.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in culinary school, so
right.
I had to duplicate it and I had to do it. I mean, and that's how I became a pro chef. But the funny thing about it is, I figured out like 15 years ago, mm-hmm. and then you're not going to believe this. I still work for them today.
Awesome. I love that.
Work for them. Well, he passed, and I work for Mrs. Newman, her name is Lolly, and that woman there has been. Oh my God, she's been more than amazing. And
wow.
So it was just how fate is and how things happen, how this is my journey. This
right.
That's how it happened.
That's divine intervention.
I think so.
You know, speaking of cooking, not for a celebrity, but just for the common person, explain to my listeners why I think everyone should have a personal chef in their life.
Well, you know what, that's a good question because it's not even about having a personal chef that I'm going to come to, that he's going to come to my house every day.
Right.
But like you got a doctor on speed dial, you have your pastor on speed dial. I think everybody should have a personal chef. You never know what can happen.
Right.
You might need a question answered. You might have that dinner party that come up. You might have, you know, something. Because one thing I think that we all cook, and everybody thinks they're a chef, and everybody can cook better than the next person they think. I mean, but to have a professional that you can call and you can say, hey, this was going on. I'm having this at work. Because every day we got to eat.
Right.
Every day something's going on where you need a chef to do something. You might not, not all of us can afford a chef every day, but to have a chef that you know you can call when needed is great for the number one things we talk about, health issues,
mm-hmm.
how to lose weight, how to, hey, I'm cooking this. Now, if anything, if you, you know, you build a relationship on social media with one or have one that you can text to, hey, I'm making XYZ, what do you recommend? I'm going to cut back on the fat or something, whatever, you know. And that's what I think everybody should have, because we have, you can call 911 and get a police officer, huh?
That's right. Chef G on V dial. I'm trying to make some creme brulee. Hey, what's going on?
There you go.
But not only that, but you know, what about, you know, you're busy, you got the kids, you're working. You know, you might want to take that small investment where you might be spending it to go to XYZ restaurant, whatever. Take that small investment. Just say, hey, chef, I can only afford maybe have a personal meal maybe twice, three times a month.
This is what I challenge people to do. This is what I want your listeners to do. I want them to sit down and I want them to break down how many times they go out for lunch and dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to add that up, and I guarantee them, and look at the number. I bet you it will be cheaper for you to have, now I'm not saying every day, but it will be a lot healthier and maybe even cost effective for you to have a chef come in once a week. If they, you had a deal, so each chef is different. It's private chef, personal chefs. A private chef is a chef that, hey, I'm just like, I was Reggie Bush's private chef.
Okay.
I was his private chef. When Reggie moved out, you know,
right.
Reggie go left, I had to go left. I was, you know, I worked for nobody but him.
Okay.
Then there's personal chefs, hey, you're my personal chef, hey, you know, you have other clients, you do other things. I might come in Monday and cook you food for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
right.
And, you know, and then you just warm up and stuff like that,
yes.
You know, because, you know, health issues and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you, you will really, there's times you're paying more going out there to eat than you are to have. I promise you.
I agree. I totally agree.
I promise you this is true.
So, chef, what's your personal style? What's your favorite style of cooking? And how is it, well, first of all, before I get into that, we're here in New Orleans. And so what's it like cooking in New Orleans as opposed to in New York or L.A. or North Carolina or what?
Well, you know, everybody has something to offer, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I feel, I mean, nothing against none of the other places I've been, and then, you know, everybody has their own flavor. We have a unique flavor out here, you know? We season well. We just have this way of putting certain things together a certain way, and it's just amazing. I just think our palate for seasoning here in Louisiana is just... it's just amazing, you know. And I'm not saying Louisiana food is better than that, because everybody has their own style, their own technique, their own way of doing what they do. I just think the way we add and bring flavors here in New Orleans is so unique. And you go anywhere else, and you'd be like, wow, the gumbo didn't taste like that in New Orleans. This, they didn't season this like that in New Orleans. And I find that a lot. But also, too, you know, like when I was in L.A. A couple of summers ago, and, you know, they had what they had to offer. It was a lot more glamorous, I think.
Yeah.
A lot more, like, you know, I want to say, you know, so.
A little bit more, maybe, out the box.
Right, definitely.
A lot of fusions maybe going on.
Absolutely. So everybody has their own thing. I just came from New York, like, literally, like, a few days ago, and it was just the wide culture. I mean, you're walking on this street.
Right.
You got the, and you hit make a right, and then you got this. And then, I mean, I was in D.C. a couple of years ago, and, you know, what they had. So everybody has their own. So I don't think one is better than another, but I think overall, us in New Orleans, we bring a unique flavor to what it is we do. You might make the same thing, I might make the same thing, but I think just being from New Orleans, you know, we can put certain things together.
Flavors
can contrast.
Yes, I'm going to have to tease you. You may have to have a jerk chicken cookout.
That's where this came from.
Right. I saw that. I was like, hold up, because back in the day, I couldn't be known for kind of being a jerk queen.
That's fine.
I may have to just challenge, because I'm kind of competitive.
That's what
girl
that's
here,
that's
you
like
know.
That.
I am not Jamaican, but I've been told at times I can make jerk chicken like one.
There you
so,
go, there you go.
You
like
may have to, you know, have a little challenge.
I was in Miami, and man, they came to that Caribbean food.
Woo! Yes.
So, I mean, that's what I would love to have that. I hope we can do that.
Okay. Now, you know, food and all that. What's your unique style? What's your go-to meal, or what do you like to cook?
You know, I get that question asked a lot. I got to say, me, it's food. I don't have a unique. Okay, this is me. This is what I want to do. What I always told myself is, I want to be versatile. I want to know that I know that I know, mm-hmm. and I don't say, okay, we're just gonna run here. Because I mean, if you ask me. Was my go-to. I'm a steak. I love steak. I'm sitting there. To me, I like a ribeye with salt and pepper thrown on a charcoal grill, and that's me.
Right.
So, you know, that might turn some people off. He's like, oh, that's not creative. It's not. So overall, I like to know that if you and at any time, I can have a conversation. I cook that meal, or I can relate to something. You know, even like when I appear on Chop, every, you know, food has a texture and a touch and a feel and a smell that's related to something, so you can adapt to it. So you just gotta know food. So my favorite thing to cook is food.
Okay, chef. You know what? We're gonna fight now because you've been holding back on me. I didn't know you were on Chopped. Come on now. We gotta tell everybody that. Okay, we're gonna have to check him out on the reruns of Chopped. What mm-hmm. year was it? Was it this last year?
No, I think it was last year. Or maybe a year and a half ago.
Oh, chef. Come on now.
I'm
not gonna have to be your social media person. Come on now, we have to play that up. Okay, so we're gonna have to check him out on Chopped. We don't care if you want or not. We just need to say, hey, I got a dude who used to be on Chopped as my personal chef.
Well, I made it to the final round.
All right.
And I think I did my best to represent New Orleans as well. But
okay,
that was a heck of an experience.
I bet.
And I must tell you this: being on Chopped, watching it on Chopped, watching it on TV. That clock is for real.
Oh, yes, I can believe it.
Now, there's a lot of other stuff might go on behind the scenes
right.
that y'all don't see.
Right.
But when they say open that basket and go,
yeah.
it's woo! It ain't no game, man. It ain't no game.
Yeah.
So it's for real.
No, I'm hoping. I'm going to see you one
no,
day.
It was Tower Fish and Canned Spaghetti was my episode.
Ah,
so
okay.
Look for Tower Fish and Canned Spaghetti.
Got
don't
it.
Get mad at me because I did my best. Right?
hey.
No,
like I said, I'm just happy to say, hey, I need somebody who was on top. Hey.
I hope I'm going to lose your followers.
Nah, I don't think so. I think next time I want to see you on Top Chef. That's what I want. Okay, well, you're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. I hope you're enjoying the show today. I have special guest chef, personal chef, Gaetan Nelson from New Orleans, who's a personal chef. He's been a personal chef for The Rock, Reggie Bush. Am I leaving anyone out?
Jerry Bird, Stacey Altman, Aaron Brooks.
So, you know, and so, hey, this dude can cook. And speaking of cooking, we have about a little bit under 30 minutes left in the show. So let's get to cooking.
All right, let's cook.
I think it's time.
Let's cook.
So I'm going to do verbal play-by-play while he starts to cook. And everyone, you can go to YouTube, and I'm going to upload the video of his cooking demonstration. I'm going to videotape and talk at the same time. Jeff, I'm going to move your cover.
Like I said, we nothing here is scripted. You know, we cook for real here. And, so what I did, I got right here is I got some little strips that I got from Endless Seafood with my seafood guy. They take care of me very well.
And what's the name of it again?
Endless Seafood here in New Orleans.
Okay.
They take care of me. They give me all my seafood. They look out for me, stuff like that. This is my own little seafood blend that I put together. So all I'm gonna do is just season this up. You know, cooking is very simple and easy. Nothing hard about it. So season it up, you taste it as you go. If anybody has any questions, they can hit me up and ask me for a recipe.
And speaking of which, do you have a Facebook page or a Twitter account? How many people?
They can find me on my Twitter. I'm at Chef Gaetan. I do have a Facebook page, which is Chef Gaetan. That's Gaetan, G-A-S-O-N. I mean, you know, it'll come up with Chef Gaetan, G-A-S-O-N, and then it'll come up.
Right.
And what I do is I got a little coconut oil and canola oil mixture.
Oh, yeah. I am so happy you said coconut oil. What's some of the benefits? Why do you cook with coconut oil and vitamins?
See, I'm cooking for real, huh? Yes,
definitely.
Like that. Yes. No, I use coconut oil because it cuts back on some of the fat, it's not healthy for you. I have a little canola oil because it stretches it, so it prevents it from burning not easily.
Okay, okay. Because I wasn't aware of that, so I can mix those two.
Yeah.
So, everyone.
You can even get it. I'll tell you what, this is what we're going to do.
Okay. And for my listeners, so what he's doing, he's put some oil, some coconut oil, and canola oil in the pan,
right.
And we're going to be doing some shrimp.
We're going to do some shrimp. I'll take a little coconut oil and a little oil. I'm going to do, add a little heavy cream on it, just go right here.
Okay.
Now, at this point right here is where I would season the shrimp and stuff like that.
Okay.
It's fine, it's fine. Like, I got some shrimp stock right here.
Okay.
That I, when I got my seafood, I cleaned them. I cleaned the shrimp and stuff like that. I boiled that and some vegetables and things like that. So, I'm going to do that little salt pepper right here. And I'm going to bring this. I'm going to let that reduce a little bit, just a little bit.
Okay, so we're going to let the cream and salt mixture kind of reduce down, making the sauce.
I said, this is right here. It's no right or wrong way. It's up to you. You know what I mean?
Right.
I look at recipes as a guide. You know, everybody says, take the recipe you as a guide. Me, cooking is a feeling. It's how you feel. And when you asked me to do this, and you and I talked about doing this, you know, just this morning I woke up and there's how I was laid, what I want to do. So right here, look at this. So this is what we got. We start boiling right there and start reducing down a little bit.
Okay.
Put it, adding this in salt. What I want to do while it's doing that, I'm going to grab your lemon right there. Add some lemon juice.
And he's just so organized. And I love it. He talks to me while I'm videotaping and we're talking live on air on Get Deacon Keeper Real on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm going to taste as you go.
You taste your food as you go.
See, already right there, almost got what I want. But what I'm going to do, simple stuff to eat. I'm going to put cheese.
So we're adding cheese to the cream mixture.
No, it's up to you what you want to add.
Okay.
Parmesan. Now, I said I got a shrimp stock right here in case I got a stretch or something.
Right.
Okay.
So I never knew that there was. Now, how did you make this shrimp stock, or is that something I can go in the store and buy?
Well, I mean, you can buy it, but I would recommend when you buy your shrimp, you get your fresh shrimp. Put your shells on it, and take your shells off, cook your shrimp, take your shells, put them in a pot, add some water, and then add some onions, celery, whatever like that. It's really just like simple, like 45 minutes.
Wow, okay.
Take it, strain it, and then you have your shrimp stock that's just made and save it. You can even take this stock. Like I want to come. Now I'm going to add the shrimp. I'm going to add it towards the end because I want all the flavors and all that.
And so you're adding shrimp to the cream. The cream had reduced down somewhat and lemon was added to that cream.
Right. Just let that go and I'm going to let the shrimp just cook. Now what's happening here is I like to do it like this because now the shrimp is like branching off into the mixture.
Right.
So all that flavor is going into the sauce, which is reduced down and which is getting a lot better.
Okay.
A lot more flavor, you know.
Okay.
And cooking is all about the little things. It's all
about
the little things. There's shortcuts and there's things that we could have done to speed this process up. But who's in a rush? We want to eat good. You know?
Yes, yes, we do. Slow food. Slow cooked food is good. And everyone, for my listeners of the show,
You can get the full effect by going to the YouTube page, and I'll give you the link to that. It'll be on the Facebook and Twitter account. If you could keep it real.
I got to make it possible.
Yeah, I mean,
I glanced off those earlier. I'm putting some warm water. So the shrimp's almost done. Now at this point, I want to taste it as I go again, but I want you to see how sticking it
is. Yeah, yeah.
Now this is where you
can. And it doesn't take long. You don't want to overcook the shrimp.
So
it's a very quick process.
And also, too, everything is fresh.
Yeah.
Everything is from scratch. Look how simple that was.
Right. Exactly.
Woo! I can't wait for you to try this.
I know. I'm excited. I'm excited.
Have to get it like that.
Yes,
he is. Check this out. Okay, this is what we're going to do. Real simple, the shrimp is done. So I add a little color, I'm going to add some tomatoes.
Ah, yes. Make it pretty.
Some rolling tomatoes, some green onion.
Okay. Now, is that kind of like the Holy Trinity, as they like to speak here in New Orleans?
That's what I say in New Orleans. I like to sound
funny. Right.
So I cook it like this. I'm going to add a little more of that cane seasoning that I made earlier.
Okay.
Steven, that's dope.
Right.
I'm going to take my hand here, Pop.
Yeah.
Now, I seem to reduce it down a little more if it gets too big.
Okay.
That's perfect. That's what I want.
Okay.
Then we got two things. You can add the shrimp.
Okay.
All right. Add a little splash just so they can see. But
right.
I don't really need mine.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Perfect. I'm going to add this. I'm going to add the hand here, Pop.
And I hope, I know I'm not like the best camera person, so y'all bear with me. And everyone listening, bear with me. I'm trying to run a talk show and video at the same time. So I'm trying to multitask, y'all. I'm trying to multitask.
You did a good job. Okay, I'm going to get a little paint right here. I'm going to pick this up.
Okay, now for the presentation. Yay. Okay, so now we're plating up. Okay.
Turn this off. Add a little more green onions. But check this out. That's what I like to do.
Okay.
I'm making salt corns earlier.
Okay.
But check this out. This is what gets you.
Awesome.
We get a little truffle oil right here.
Ah, truffle oil, my favorite. Now, what's the key with this truffle oil? Because not everyone may be familiar with truffle oil.
Truffle oil is mushroom. It's very expensive.
Right.
It's mushrooms that it takes, you know, they have a special way of buying mushrooms, growing them around, stuff like that. It's, you know, very hard to get. It's very expensive. That's why the cost is so high.
Right. You know. But it's well worth it.
You know,
I love it over popcorn.
A little bit goes a long way.
Yes. Let me try it. All right. I'm looking forward to it. And it looks like we have a special guest who joined us.
You're working with me. We got a lot of products. We got some really big projects here ready to come up. So he came out here to team up with me. And because I'm, you know, what I'm doing is it's really wrong. God is truly blessing me. And things is going on, so I need to bring help. And,
yeah.
He stepped into the plane and he stopped what he was doing in Atlanta, came up here to get some of this.
Awesome. Well, that's a friend.
Awesome.
Very awesome. You're watching and listening to Give Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla, live in New Orleans in the home of personal chef Gaison. And now we're about to eat, and I feel sorry for all you listeners because you cannot enjoy what I'm about to enjoy.
Come try some of this. I want you to try some of this.
Okay.
This is for you, now. This is for you.
All right. So, y'all, check that out. Check that out. Look at that. Now, let me come around to the side. Man, I wore new shoes today. Okay. Check that out. And I'm going to let you grab the camera. Well, let me see. Yes, we'll let me be on camera today. And you guys can see me stuff my face. Mmm.
Not bad, huh?
I love it. Mmm. It's nice and creamy without being too rich.
And can you taste the truffle?
Definitely. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. It's really good.
Awesome.
It's really good. So, you're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla on Blog Talk Radio. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. And check out this awesome meal that I'm having. It's a sauteed shrimp and pasta with cream sauce. Drizzled with truffle. Oh, my mouth is full with truffle oil. It's really delicious. Well, this has been wonderful. I hope you guys are enjoying the video. And yes, this is the man, Chef G, Kason Nelson, out of New Orleans, with his own personal chef business. So make sure you check him out on Facebook and on Twitter.
That's Chef Kason.
At Chef Kason. So make sure you check him out and make sure you check out my show as well. Thank you for joining me. For all my video listeners and watchers here on YouTube, hope you enjoy.
That was pretty cool.
Yes.
That was cool. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, but we're still on the show. We got about 13 minutes left. So you guys, I'm going to make sure I download that video for you onto YouTube a little bit later. But in a few minutes, I'm really going to enjoy some food. And actually, we have about 13 minutes left, but I'm hungry and I really want to eat. So,
I want to thank you for the opportunity of letting me do this.
Definitely.
I love cooking. I love sharing what it is that I do. I mean, even like just seeing something like this, it really means a lot to me. And so for you to even pick me to do something like this, it's really cool.
I always believe in divine destiny.
Right.
I don't even remember how I came about seeing your stuff, but somehow I must have seen a picture or something on Facebook or something. And I was like, wow, that food looks good. And then you just had all this food porn going on, and I was like, man, who is this guy? His food just looks really good. I want to know. And so I Facebook stalked you.
I've never heard of that one. Facebook stalker.
I did. I was a Facebook stalker, and I was loving all the images I would see of your meals. And actually, I do have some pictures on the Facebook page connected to this link for this show of some of the meals that he's prepared in the past. But, so start stalking you on Facebook, and then I just decided, hey, he's a personal chef. I think I might be interested in having one. And then I just started following your page, and I thought you would be an interesting person to interview.
Sure.
And so that's why I decided to reach out to you. And I really thank you, because this community is very competitive.
Sure.
And it's so hard. And I just thought you seemed like a very positive person who was very much a go-getter. And that's what my show is all about. Hearing people's stories, giving them a chance to share their life with the world, because we do have listeners who listen from a little bit of everywhere, and so you never know, you might say something that might inspire someone else, and so that's what I really like to do.
You know, it's all about just chasing your dream, and you know in your heart that, like I said, you know, back in 1990, it didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense to me at all. But I knew in my heart that's what I wanted to do. So you always just gotta like chase your dream and don't get off track. And you know, I'm human. I've gone through some things in my life, but I stayed on course. You know, I had some personal times, some personal struggles, but I stayed on course on what it is I want to do. And you know, things like you said, lines, just things happen that are supposed to happen. You know, and me like basically, you know, something that you know about me being a private chef is like, me be welcoming into someone's home to do a private dinner.
Right.
It's, you know, it's an honor.
Right.
Because, like, I'm bringing the restaurant to you.
Exactly.
You know, sit down. When you sit down, you give me full control over your kitchen. You sit down. You and I design the menu. We'll design the menu together.
Okay.
And then after that, you sit down and you step away. You entertain the guests. And we have some fun. And my job is to put a show on and make the guests and you feel so enjoyable that you can't believe that you wasn't at a restaurant.
Wow.
You know, when I cook, you know, God bless me where I cook. I've cooked all over.
Okay.
And I did this at a lot of places. So to be able to do this.
large like event or something that you cook personally by yourself?
The largest that I did by myself, I said, well, this was a while ago. I had a dinner at Sully Mansion, and I had some help that I was supposed to help me. They didn't help out. It was like a sit-down dinner for like 40 people.
Okay.
I mean, but don't get me wrong. I had wait staff. I had people there that were very supportive.
Right.
And I sat there, and I sat next to them. I'm very organized. I got a plan in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I sat down. I had a plan. I let the person get to me, and I knocked it out. So
right.
A sit-down, four-course meal, 40 people.
Wow.
That I nailed. And then at the end of that dinner, I did that. You know, it's kind of walk back and feel like a peacock, you know what I mean?
So what's your dream? Couple of questions here in the last 8 minutes. What's your, like, maybe dream city or country to cook in? Who is, like, some favorite chef that you would maybe like to cook with or cook under, learn from? And what's your future goal?
You know, for me, I mean, like I said, cooking is a feeling and expression. And it's, so like this last weekend, for me to be able to cook with, you know, me, be with Ed Cotton in New York, it never like a dream come true.
Right.
For me to work up under Jerry Walsh or too much at the Boca, that was a dream come true. For me, for Dana to ask Dana Dope for Summer Grill to take me under his wing and just open up his kitchen and basically, you know, just the total operations to me, that was like a dream come true. So I just think with me, my path, my journey, it's just every day, as long as I'm getting better, you know, I don't want to sit there and say, I have to cook with Emma Lagasse or,
right.
or stuff like that, because that little lady around the corner in that house over there might know some cooking stuff that
will blow
my mind.
Right.
Whatever. And what I got when I was in New York, I was not expecting that. And it just hit me. I was in top. I was thrown. I thought I was out here making some noise, and I worked in the Boca for that 2 months. I had to sit back and be like, you ain't doing nothing but making no noise. you ain't doing nothing but making no noise. Stuff like that. You know, I want to challenge myself to travel and just go to different places. Argentina. I want to go to Japan. Thailand. I want to go, you know.
Thailand is very nice.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to just...
That would be a very nice, different experience.
You know, I want to go to just good place like that, just experience food. Like next summer, I'm taking 7 days off, and I'm calling it a culinary retreat. I'm going back to New York. I'm taking 7 days where I'm just eating in different places.
Yeah.
And people are like saying, I want to work with people that love food as much as I want.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because there's no getting tired in the kitchen for me.
Right.
There's no, okay, that's enough for the day. I want to go, I want to get it to this. No more kids.
Right.
So
I always lose my motor. I kind of like cooking, but cooking for myself, I get bored easily. Whereas if I'm cooking for other people, I'm much more inspired.
For me, there's no such thing. For me, I just every day want to get better. And I'm thankful for social media. I've met so many great chefs out here. I'm thankful, you know, for just people believing in me.
Right.
That support me, like you coming here and doing this with me, that obviously saw something.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and that lets me know that I'm on the right path.
Right.
And there's something big. Everybody has a story to tell.
Exactly.
And what it is that I've done in my life and what I've been through, hopefully I'm going to be able to share it through cooking some kind of way.
Right.
And we just go from there.
Well, what do you see yourself in the next 5 to 10 years?
I would like to have me a couple of cookbooks out. I would like to just share with people, have a platform to share with people just the passion of cooking, like, you know, talking about not even process, just little things that just come natural to me in the kitchen. People out there don't know. I would love to have a platform to share that with,
right.
You know what I mean? Social media has been huge for me. I mean, we reach a lot of people, but I know there's a step above that.
Right,
you know? So just being able to share what it is that I do with people, some kind of way, you know, it'd be great for me.
Now, any advice or tips for either that young kid out there in the community in New Orleans who's maybe a little lost, not sure what he wants to do, but thinks he or she thinks they may want to cook, or either for, you know, that middle-aged person who may be fed up with their job, but their hobby is cooking. Any advice or tips on how to get into the cooking game, or, you know, what? What do you think?
I mean, you gotta be number one. You gotta be true with it. You gotta be true to this game. You gotta understand this game, this culinary game, it can beat you up.
Okay.
You know, with the hours, not paying well, mm-hmm. just things like that. So you gotta know that this is what you want to do. Challenge yourself. Don't get all caught up on the social media thing that you see this person doing that and you see that person doing that. Don't get caught up on that. Get caught up on making yourself better, learning and growing and reading and using all these resources. Stuff that we had. I used to have to spend all my time in the library.
Right.
But now you can sit here and go online, do these other things, and TV shows. Just challenge yourself.
Right.
Do things. And even if you do stuff in the fall, if you do make mistakes, you do something that's not right at that moment, learn from it. Not every experience is a bad experience. Learn from it, dust yourself off, and keep going. You know what I mean? Because it's never in the end.
Right.
And I've been through a lot in my life, but I can't believe I'm sitting here right now doing this.
Right.
I'm not supposed to be sitting here right now talking to you. I'm not supposed to be, but I am. So that's me getting up, dusting myself off, and moving forward.
Yeah.
So long as they don't quit believing, believe. And don't let people get in your head and say you can't lose, you can't do that.
Right.
You got to believe in yourself, pray, see where it is you want to go, and grind. Grind like you ain't never grind before.
Right.
And this is my biggest thing I can tell you. Even when you think things aren't happening, something's happening.
Right, wow.
Something somewhere is happening. Somebody somewhere remembers you or thinking about you, remembers something you cooked or something. Something's happening.
Right.
Right now, there's somebody, my name is on somebody's desk.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just the right time.
Right.
But when the thing is, when it happens, you got to be ready.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't get caught short.
Now, this is why top would be eating and drinking while doing this show. But I'm enjoying myself. I hope you guys are enjoying my show. This is Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla, and I'm here with personal chef Gaysan Nelson out of New Orleans, and we're just having an excellent time. I'm eating, he's talking, and make sure you go to YouTube today and look for the link. We did a live cooking demonstration that will be up on YouTube a little bit later this evening. But you can always go to Facebook and Twitter and check us out on Get Deep and Keep It Real on Facebook or Twitter. So we have just about a minute left or two in the show. And I guess I just maybe want to sum the show up by, number one, thanking him for inviting me over to a meal, a demonstration meal, and it's just so yummy and delicious. And I feel like to like eat it up, and I haven't offered anybody anything, but it's just so good. So you make sure you hit them up, because it's worth the money and everything to have a personal chef. It really is. Be good to your body. Love your body, and it will love you back. So, you know, don't look at it as being expensive. It's an investment to yourself. So, chef. Thank you so much. This has been awesome. And I guess I just wanted to end the show by just kind of thinking about all the things that are going on in New Orleans. You know, I'm happy that the community and the children have someone such as yourself to look up to and to admire. You know, and so hopefully we'll have some, you know, young people following behind your footsteps.
Hope so.
Yeah.
Do. Yeah. If they need any, if they want to ask any questions or if any advice, feel free to hit me up at Chef Gaysan, you know, on Twitter, you know, on my website, you know, www.chefgaysan.com, and I'll try to answer every question and I'm here.
Right.
For anybody needs help, I love talking about food.
Right.
I love talking about food.
Okay, he likes talking about food, I like talking about food, but I like eating food even better. So if you want some good food, make sure you check out Chef, personal chef Gaysan Nelson, and he has a Facebook and Twitter page, so make sure you hit him up and, you know, give this man some business. You will not be disappointed, believe me. I'm Tiffany Camilla, food critic, foodie, been all over the world, and I'm eating some excellent pasta right here today. So thank you for joining me for my show today, Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla, and make sure you join me next week. I might be on a day or two early. Normally we're on Wednesday, but I may have to be on Tuesday just because of booking issues. But we're going to be talking to a young lady who is running an organization called The Birthing Project. So this is going to be a very informative and deep show talking about, you know, why we need women today need help birthing our children into the world. So make sure you join me next week on Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. And make sure you go to Facebook and Twitter and YouTube to check out today's show. Have a great day.